everybody, and welcome to Dine with the Divine. I'm your host, Ashley, and together we'll be exploring the magical, the mystical, and everything in between. On today's episode, we're going to talk about beauty and love and a woman who would be very expensive. So it's a fun tale. Anyway, so let's go to what we're talking about. I hope you are having a great day, and if not, I hope it gets better soon. Today, we have a fantastic guest. We have Sophie St. Thomas. She is an award-winning journalist and author based in New York City and is originally from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Her exhaustive list of bylines include Vice, Playboy, GQ, Glamour, Marie Claire, Pride, Cosmopolitan, High Times, Gawker, RIP, Harper's Bazaar, and more. Her work focuses on sex, drugs, glamour, and subcultures. In addition, she is Allure Magazine's resident astrologer and a sex columnist for Ask Men. Sophie is the author of 5 books, Find Your Higher Self, The Little Book of CBD for Self-Care, Sex Witch, Magical Spells for Love, Lust, and Self-Protection, Glamour Witch, Conjuring Style and Grace to Get What You Want, and Weed Witch. Oh, Sophie, how are you today?
I'm not bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine. So one thing I always ask people is, how did your journey, your witchcraft era, how did that start for you?
Let's see. I did grow up around in the Caribbean. Things like voodoo are just part of everyday life. I'm not saying that everyone practices it, but for instance, like the school I went to, instead of telling us like, oh, don't play over there, it's dangerous, it was like, if you cross this red line, the red eye zombies will get you and kill you. And God, I remember I know an adult who pissed off the wrong woman, and she sent him hot foot powder, which is a powder that if you step on, it's supposed to get someone to leave. So the intention of that was to get this person to leave island. Once I was just a little kid drawing with chalk outside of my home, and my dad saw it, and he thought it was like bad voodoo sigils towards him. And so I think, and I was not raised in one particular religion, but I think being in a culture where that kind of stuff was just considered like normal, like really prepped me for it. I don't know. It was really natural. And then I moved to New York in 2010. The first place I lived was the East Village. There is a shop there, the oldest occult shop in New York City, called Enchantments. And one of the first things I did is that I went and I bought books, and I immediately really connected with tarot, which is probably still my favorite method of working with these tools. We can talk about tarot, we can talk glamour magic, we can talk sex magic, but tarot immediately got me. And I will say I am an excellent fucking tarot reader. And one of my first really close best friends is Annabelle Gatt, who is Vice's astrologer. And through her, I learned a lot about astrology. And I don't know if I have one moment. I feel like I just grew up in an environment where I heard about all these things, and it wasn't like a strange thing that exists in movies. It was like, no, people actually around me practice that. And I know people who are worried about stepping on like hot foot powder. And then when I moved to East Village, one of the first things I did was go into Enchantments. And maybe that marks my official journey, because that was the first time I took the steps to really educate it on myself, more than things like being a kid and daring our friends like cross the red line to see if like, the red-eyed zombies would get us, which I tell people that my school just told us that. And they're like, I can't believe that your school told you that's what would happen to you, is that you would get eaten by zombies if you broke the rules. I was like, yeah, no, that was totally normal. So I guess that's my answer.
Okay. That's a great answer. A lot of people, I think, especially in the islands, it's very prevalent. Like, a lot of what other people may just say are superstitions or things, but no, but it's like real everyday life. You've written 5 books. So I want to go and ask you about the book. I'm going to ask you probably about all of them, but actually I have one of them right next to me. Anyway, so a lot of people might hear sex magic. And even for me, I don't really completely... it's not something that I practice, so I don't completely understand it. Is it about, and I might sound very like, because I don't know anything about it, so I apologize if I sound silly. Is it about doing magical things while engaging in sex, or is it about self-love more, or what would you describe it like as?
The thing, sex magic can be about whatever you want. The idea is that your sexual energy and particularly your orgasm, although I do a lot of things. I'm also a sex journalist and write and talk about the occult, but I also always think from this kind of like science journalist POV. So I'm like, use your orgasm, but then the sex journalist kicks in. It's not everyone can have an orgasm, whether you have trauma or the meds you're taking. So mm-hmm. I don't want to exclude anyone because any kind of buildup of sexual energy can be used. But the idea behind it is just, this is an energy. This is a powerful energy. So you use it to manifest whatever you want. You can direct it towards casting a spell for money. You can direct it towards more self-love, which is a really, really beautiful aspect. You can, a lot of people hear sex magic and they think it has to mean doing spells to manifest a romantic partner or a sexual partner, but it certainly does not have to do that. And in fact, more superstitious witches probably would advise against that because there's a whole debate about magical ethics. Like, should I use magic to cast a spell to make this person I'm thinking about ask me out or not? But so sex magic is it just really simple. It's just thinking that, okay, your sexual energy, your orgasm is a very powerful energy. So you're going to throw it towards a goal using visualization, using ritual, whether that's my favorite way to use it is actually for money, for professional achievements. When I first heard about it, I talk about this forever. It's a shame. A few sketchy men throughout history, of course, have made it pretty shady. Like, for instance, a lot of people associate sex magic with Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
When he did it, he loved it. That was like his whole thing. It's like sex magic. But unfortunately, he coupled it with pretty problematic orgies where he was like,
very creepy and weird.
Yeah. Very, 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 very creepy. And he really got off on what he saw as like, basically sex magic with like weirdos. When of course you can imagine like who he applied that to. Yeah. Well, so there's a stain on sex magic. It's a shame that he is the person that a lot of people in the occult world think of when I think of sex magic, because just by itself, just it existing without context, it's just using your sexual energy to put it towards a goal, plain and simple.
Okay, interesting. That makes so much sense, though. It's such a powerful time when somebody is building up. Like you were saying, you don't even, it's not even always about orgasm. It's about the buildup. It's about the energy that the person may be having, whether it's by themselves or whether it's with somebody else or with other people. It's a whole, like, the whole situation is like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people really suggest that the best way to do it is through masturbation, through self-pleasure. Just when you are doing it, not only can it be like distracting to have sex with a partner, but it's, if we are going to go back to, he loved like orgies. He loved a lot of people working together to manifest sex magic, but not all of us have just a coven of people waiting to have a sex magic orgy. A lot of people have partners who might not even believe in this stuff. So are you going to practice sex magic while you're having sex with them? And are you going to tell them, or are you just not going to tell them? And witches could debate like the ethics of this forever. But I think that the most, in my experience, most effective, and just even if you like forget about any morality of it, but just the best way to do it is by yourself. Then you can be as like weird as you want. You know, if you want to like surround yourselves with candles, with like different sigils and chant things and put, you can do whatever you want. So sex magic through masturbation is how I always advise people to first explore it if it's something they're interested in.
Okay. Very interesting. I love that. So interesting that you also are a sex journalist and like I love how you understand the scientific way of the whole sexual situation, like we said, and then you can match it with the occult. I think that's just I think it's so important too, because just like you said at the beginning, when you said not everybody can have an orgasm for a list of reasons.
Yeah.
People may not even consider that. If somebody who's able to have an orgasm easily their whole life and they know how, people may not even consider that about other people. But, and so when they're talking about sex magic, they just be like, well, blah, blah, when you have an orgasm. But the fact that you know that, I think helps inform so many people. Oh, wait, there's a many different, it's like modifying a yoga pose. It's like,
oh, I love that.
It's like, if you can't do downward facing dog the way that you see it in the picture, and somebody's giving you 10 modifications, if you need to use a chair, if you need to use a block, it's so nice because you're like, wow, no matter what, I'll be able to do this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I, again, cut me off because I could talk about all this. I think orgasms are great. Don't get me wrong. I love orgasms, but I do think orgasm-centric sex is pretty super problematic hetero a little bit. Just the idea that sex starts when you start fooling around and it ends when people come. That's not necessarily how everyone fucks. That's not necessarily certainly how queer people have sex. And I don't think even if you are in a straight relationship or a relationship where one person has a penis or vagina, I think prioritizing the orgasm can make it harder for people to have orgasms because pressure and stress are not conducive to like relaxing and enjoying that. And just so much throughout like history, it's been depicted as sex ends when like the person with the penis comes. And, and that I think is a disservice to kind of anyone seeking pleasure.
I am so glad you said that because and again, we'll get to other things, but this is very interesting. I love that you're saying that. I 100% agree. I was actually having this conversation the other day. I think maybe it's, and I don't know, you can tell me what you think too. It's number one, it's different types of relationships that people have, depending on, like you said, if you're queer or you're straight or whatever the situation may be, your goal may be different. But also, I feel like when you get older, you can start to appreciate the fact that it doesn't all have to be about having an orgasm or like ejaculation or whatever your situation is. You can appreciate the whole litany of things that happen up to it.
Yeah.
Whether it's you and your partner or partners, you guys like to do dirty talk and then it's a whole situation. Maybe you plan a dinner around it or you plan whatever you plan around it. It's so much more fun. And I think when you're young, you're like, oh, we just got to bang. Like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
But when you get older, you're like, oh, actually we can bang. That's fine. But like all this other stuff is super fun. Like we're going to do all this other stuff that makes everybody, not just one person. Again, I'm coming from a mindset of a hetero person, but in that situation, it's not just making the dude, I'm just talking about cishet people, but it's not just the dude comes and then everybody has to go home and that's it.
Exactly. Like,
we can all have fun. And again, if you're in a queer relationship, I can't speak to that, but it just seems like we can all learn from each other and we can all enjoy together. I love that idea.
Yeah. We can. I'm bisexual. Right now, my partner is a man and it's seemingly, but it looks like we're straight. But like beforehand, my partner was a woman. So I think I definitely come into these relationships thinking more of like, how can we do as much with our bodies as we can? How can we, if we want, integrate like things like kink that are not totally orgasm centric? And just, I know for me, if there's a lot of pressure like to come, like it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, no. Same.
You
just wanna, because it's supposed to be fun. Everyone's supposed to have a good time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you just, and for some people it's harder for them to have orgasms than others. So if the whole time you're like, I must have an orgasm, you can't relax and you're like all tense and it's weird. Yeah, everybody have fun. You're supposed to have a good time. That's the whole point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no matter who you are, no matter which parts are, everybody's supposed to have fun. We're all equal. We're all having a good time. That's the whole point. However that looks for you. Oh, that was fun. We're talking about that.
Good.
Yes, it's the first time we got to talk about sex on this podcast. This is great. Thank you.
Oh, fun. Of course.
We got to do it more often. We're going to go into our dish of the week. Because later on, we're going to talk more about glamour, because you wrote a book called Glamour Witch. We're going to talk about some 9 foods that can help you with your beauty. That's fun, right?
That is fun.
Yeah, help your skin and all that good stuff. One thing that I saw in here, we got, well, lemons. Hot water, a lot of people do like hot water and lemons for their like digestion in the morning. So that's really good apparently for your skin too. Nice. Sweet potatoes. I love a sweet potato. I love sweet potato fries. So good. They have a lot of vitamin C and a lot of vitamin A. And they work to neutralize cell tissue damaging free radicals, which can brighten up your skin. And they're full of biotin, which are good for your hair and your nails. A lot of people like me take whole vitamins for that.
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah, you have very nice skin, by the way. Very pretty skin.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I put a lot of, I'm obsessed with my skincare ritual.
Oh, you're doing great. Like,
thank you.
Fantastic. I don't
thank
see
you.
One more anywhere. Perfect.
Oh.
Yes. So then we have almonds. Almonds are really rich in vitamin E. So if you want to get that good skin, you can get some almonds. We have chia seeds, which are also fight free radicals. That's nice. Pineapple. Pineapple gives me heartburn, but I still eat it and I don't care. It helps you. It's really good for your digestion, reducing inflammation, removing toxins, apparently. And it's full of collagen. Yay. Another thing that's in my vitamins, too. Beets. I'm not a beet person, but beets are really, really good for you. So if you like beets, keep eating them. They keep your skin firm and youthful. They are full of potassium, magnesium, vitamin A. And then we have figs. Oh, a couple more. Ooh, figs. Figs and dates, which I always mix up which is which. I love dates and figs, though. They're so good. Figs, they are help cleanse the digestive tract of mucus, which is like gross when you hear about it, but it actually is probably really good for you. It also helps your inner glow. And they're high in sugar, so you shouldn't eat a ton of them all the time, but they're good. And then dates are really high in fiber. So if you're having any problem poop-a-dooping, you might want to eat some dates. They're rich in copper, which is really good to help your body absorb iron and form collagen in your red blood cells. And they also make a great sugar alternative in baking and cooking if you don't want to use processed sugar. And my favorite vegetable ever, which is spinach. I could eat spinach every single day because I just love it so much. It is high in vitamin A and is loaded with vitamin C also and helps maintain collagen. So that's our dish of the week. Those are some different things that you can eat to help your skin and all that good stuff. Okay, well, I'm going to do my plug, then we'll move to our next section. So if you enjoy the show, you can follow me on all my socials. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Threads, and Facebook. Yep. And I'm at Dine with the Divine on all of those. If you really enjoy the show, please pause now. If you're not driving, if you're driving, just wait till later. You can pause. You can make sure you're following us because you can get a new episode for free every Thursday. And you want to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That'd be really helpful. It helps more than money does. And speaking of money, if you want to give me a tip, please do. But you're not obligated to. Don't worry about it. Also, if you have any questions, suggestions, or comments about the show, feel free to email me at dinewiththedivinepod@gmail.com. Feel free. I'm serious. I will read your email and I will reply. And your DMs. I reply to everybody. Don't ever be afraid to DM me. I will get back to you. It might take me a day or two just because I'm a little scatterbrained sometimes. But I'm coming. I'll be there. Okay. For our tea time, I thought we'd do something fun. We're going to read about some spells for love, hair magic, and some other stuff from Sophie's book. Because I was reading through the book and I just thought it was so lovely. I really enjoyed a lot of the different spells in here and what you use. And some of the sex ones are really interesting. You just have a lot of really interesting spells that are, number one, very simple for anybody to do. A lot of these, again, we talked about modification. You don't need a bunch of expensive stuff to do any of Sophie's spells. They're very easy. And they all, when I was reading through them, they all have the goal of basically, like, there's a magical goal. But when you read them, you're like, oh, that just sounds nice. Like, that's just like a nice thing to do for myself.
Good.
Yeah. This is so sweet. I was like, I wish I had some of these spells before. Okay, so the first spell that I loved
was the post-breakup haircut and cord cutting ritual. Woo! Girl, I needed that. Never had it, but I should have had it a while ago. You know, everybody, I feel like haircuts are like you cut 8 inches of your hair when you break up with somebody, or like you had a situationship that broke down in my case in that time. But you're just like, you need a fresh start. And the first thing you think is like, I'm going to cut my hair, or like, I'm going to get a tattoo. This time I was cutting my hair. But I really like, and I love how the first step in this spell, you talk about take time to mourn. It's so important, right? Because I feel like a lot of the time, your friends being the people who really do care about you and love you, they'll be like, ah, it's fine. Just the way to get over them is to get under somebody else, which is fine if that's actually what you want to do. But that can come with a lot of weirdness.
Yeah. Yeah, I always imagine being on the other side of it. Like maybe you've had this or listeners have had this when you are the person who is just dating and you go on a date with someone and they just won't shut up about their ex that they just broke up with. And you're like, I don't want to hear about this. Like, go get over her and then like call me in 2 months. If like, it's, you know, if you want to go have some no strings attached, like casual sex, like that's fine. But no one wants to date someone who is still like moping and crying over their ex. Just it's no one wants that.
Nobody. I have been on both sides and it's bad either way.
Like, yeah,
I've been the crier and I have been cried too. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, I'm really sorry.
It can be real awkward. Like people wanting like sympathy and empathy for like their breakup when you're just like, oh, I thought I was just here to date you because you were emotionally available. My bad. I'll offer some emotional labor like for you, like suck off.
I know. I did that one time. I went on a date and I got the vibe already. I feel like when you're a spiritually or witchy adjacent person, you get the vibe, right? So I'm like, I had already been talking to this person and now I like felt bad if I didn't go, but I was like, I feel like this is going to be weird. I went and they would not shut up about their ex. I just wanted to drink this chai tea latte and I was just like, that ended in them crying and I'm just like, okay. And then I gave them a hug out of obligation. And I was like, God, I want to crawl out of my skin right now and run away. I was like, okay. And they're like, yeah, so like, this was really fun. And I was like, I guess it was. I wanted to die.
It's just speaking of that spell, I always find it so fascinating. Someone who loves like journalism, but also the occult, when you can find crossover. Mm-hmm. And I have long known about like the idea of a cord cutting ritual, which traditionally involves taking a rope and doing a ritual to make it represent something and then severing the cord. You can do cord cutting rituals with visualization alone. You can use an actual cord, and writing spells can actually be really hard sometimes because you want people to feel like they're doing magic, like they're. But I also, I hate when I open a book and this spell will cost me $120. Like, no, I'm good. I'll keep the page. But with cord cutting ritual, how many like movies have we seen that scene where like the woman gets dumped and then she's in the mirror like, oh, yeah. I'm going to cut off all my hair. And I'm like, that's cord cutting. It's hair comes at any part of the body, but definitely hair, like very superstitious witches, like they will, some don't even like going to like the salon or will ask for their hair clippings to be brushed up and given back to them. Same with nails, because they're worried that someone will access that and do magic against that. Yeah, I'm glad you called out that spot. That was really fun for me because I was thinking I've totally cut my hair after a breakup or like at that point in the relationship where I like should be breaking up and I'm like, okay. This is a sign. I just cut off like 8 inches of hair. I'm definitely gonna dump this guy, right? Yeah. like all of a sudden, I have a purple bisexual bob. Like this is gonna work out.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I think it's about time. Yeah.
I actually had someone call me out on it once, being like, people, girls cut their hair when they're about to break up with someone. And I was like, what? And then a month later, it's like, yeah, you're a dick. Like, shut up. out of my face.
I'm telling you, it's true. I know so many people who have done that. Like, all of a sudden, you see them with a new haircut, you're like, oh, you got rid of them, didn't you? And they're like, Or they know, like you said, or it's like, you know it's coming. Oh, you finally realized they were toxic. That's good.
And tattoos, too. I have so many tattoos. And it's very, very cathartic. Very cathartic.
Yes, tattoos and piercings, I find. You just, there's something about it. Because at that point, you're like, I'm doing this for myself. And maybe I wouldn't have been able to do it. Or I wouldn't have thought of it if I was with that person. I feel so good. It, like, feels like you've conquered something.
It does. Yeah. It does.
So, it's so good. Like I said also about Sophie's spells, they are easy to do. You could do it with things you have in your house if you don't want to go and buy something different. I love that. Then I thought this was really interesting. You use the moon to charm your strap-on. And I was like, say what, Sophie? I was like, this is really cool. I was like, what? I love how it's just like, your book is so for everybody. I'm like, this is great. The first line here. Yes, it's like some parts, like I was reading the different spells. Some of them, I'm like, damn, this is really real. Some of them made me kind of giggle, like, because I'm a 13-year-old boy. But
I'm sure I was giggling when I was writing them. I am also a 13-year-old boy.
I was like, or just 13-year-old me, because I would also laugh at this. But some of them have, like, I would giggle, or then I'd be like, damn, this, like, is deep. Like, in the end, when I really thought about it, I was like, damn, this makes a lot of sense. So, like, I just like how I went through so many emotions reading different parts of your book. Oh, gosh.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's really good. So this is, I'm not going to read you guys the whole thing, because I'm not going to read everything, but it's, you take your dildo and you sit with it and you can write it down also. You're thinking about, like, what you want to come from this strap on, what it is, if you want, like, a connection with it, if you want just, like, sex, like, what do you want? But it's going to help you connect with it. I like that. And it's also, like, it's not just he, and you all also might be giggling, too, because we're talking about dildo and strap on. And that is funny. So you can giggle. I'm not going to stop.
Yeah, definitely.
It's funny. But also, like, that, whether you're using it with a partner or using it with yourself, this is all about, like, connection. And what can this situation do for you? If you guys are having a one-night stand, or this is just a relationship or a relationship, whatever you want it to be, let it just be that. Without the stress, without, like, with all this laying on you, just let it be whatever it is so you can enjoy it. No matter what it is. Because that's what everybody deserves to do. Like we were talking before. Charming your strap-on will help you with that. It's just very cool. I love that. Then you have one in here for getting engaged. And it's a mani for marriage. Oh, I love a manicure. If it makes you feel better. Actually, I'm going to get one on Saturday. And I'm already excited. Yes. It's so fun to talk about putting magic into your manicure. And a lot of the things you talk about are things that making these like glamour rituals or things you do for yourself, making those rituals and making those things that you can do to help yourself and to make yourself feel good. Think about it at the most basic level. I know a lot of people do this. After a long day, you go take your shower, right? Don't you feel so much better after you take this shower? And that's a ritual in your life. Like,
that's another, think about baptism, how, you know, forget like spells, like in religions, like being submerged and put in water is a cleansing ritual just globally. So, of course, again, that's a perfect example of the intersection I love, just like real life, like things we do without even thinking about it. Like, I'm going to take a shower to like wash the day off, and like actually from whether it's like witches who like want to charge, you can like, there's this ritual you can do, which is like charge water under a full moon and or Catholic baptism. There's like cleansing water involved. It's just such a, like a universal human experience to associate water with that. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's so true. It is a human experience because it's all over the world. People have different rituals with water. So it's a very fire, water. Those are big elements that people use a lot for cleansing. So I love that. So the other one I really, really love was Glamour Magic for Dating Apps, because look, it's rough out here. The dating apps. I met my fiance on a dating app, so I love dating apps. But
me too.
Oh, cool! Yay! Wait, let me see your ring. Sorry, I know this is not going to be on the podcast.
That nanny for that worked.
So pretty.
Thank you.
I love it. Oh, that is a beautiful ring.
It's a ruby.
Yes, I have a colored ring too. So I get very
excited.
Oh, that's
excited. Gorgeous. Yes, it's fun to have something different. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I really enjoy that. Oh, I'm so happy for you. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, dating apps are a hot mess express, but they also can be great. You can meet a lot of really good people. You can meet a lot of good fuck buddies. You can have a good time on there. But you just gotta, I believe, protect your energy and prepare yourself for the bullshit. And also, but also get ready to be your most confident self. And that's a lot of what your spell here talks about. You're taking a really, really good selfie. You're getting dressed up. And ooh, you even make a sigil in... Sigil, I always like to say. Sigil in here. And you help yourself make a good dating profile. You take a sigil selfie, which I love. You use a lot of color magic too in this, which you have a whole section on color magic, which I enjoy too. You talk about using purple to lure in creative bisexual, or blue for a tranquil relationship. Love that. Also, you mentioned in here, be a modern witch. Don't be afraid to message first, because it is attractive when people do that. There are all those rules. You know, all those weird... I remember years ago. Remember? I don't know. I'm old. People would talk about that, like all these books. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And
then, yes, I've read it. I still think about that book. I know it's problematic, but some of that shit I still think about. I'm like, it's so true. I get that it's not, it's too binary for like 2023. What year is it? But when I read that in middle school, and I still think about it.
That's so funny. I know. I remember, I think I started reading it when I was a kid. I don't think I finished it, but I remember my mom had it. And I also remember reading when I was like in my 20s. I don't know why I read this book, but it was like Steve Harvey wrote a book about like relationships.
Oh my God. I know what you're talking about. Was that like act like a man, think like a woman?
Yes. This didn't age well. It wasn't really that good to begin with. So not even that it didn't age well. It was already bad. This is, again, it's all based on heterosexual relationships, this book.
Yeah.
And the first like issue. And then he's like, you need to date somebody for 90 days before you even think about sleeping with them. And basically to me, the inclination was like, or else you're a whore. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah. Those are the times, right? It was
crazy. They really were out here telling you.
No, Gen Z doesn't know how good they have it. And I'm like, went to the slut shame, be like, yeah, that was how it was, right?
That's why sometimes people will say, okay, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big Swiftie, but I understand people did slut shame. They do slut shame Taylor Swift, which is wrong.
I became a Swiftie accidentally. I didn't mean for it to happen. It just got me during the pandemic. I used to hate her. And then I like stoned listened to her album, like, and I was like, fuck.
Oh my God.
Like entering my basic bitch era, leaning all the way into it.
I am like, not to go on a rant, but this is my issue.
Go off. Okay. It's your podcast.
I used to. Back in the day, I used to like Taylor Swift. And then I realized that Taylor Swift, like, weaponizes feminism. She only gets mad. She only talks about feminism when someone's being mean to her. And it's a woman. She's like, you need to be nice to me because I'm a woman. Okay. But then when other people have issues with feminism, she doesn't say a word. So I'm like, Taylor Swift, don't play this game with me. Just say that you don't like when people are being mean to you. I'm fine with that.
This is what you have to... I'm a Scorpio, so mm-hmm. I am a little dark and evil. Like, Taylor Swift weaponizes everything, and that is part of why I love her. Like, I remember, what was it, when Kim dropped that, like, recorded phone call, I was like, why are you doing it? Like, You know, I was with everyone. And then I like came full circle to being like, oh, no, you are. Yes, you are all of those things. You are all of those things that I love you for, girl. Like,
you know what, though? You're right. You're so right, though? I know.
If ever I'm like hearing about asking for something professionally, I'm like, would Taylor Swift like think about being nice? No. Like, no.
She's no, she would not.
I know. She gives zero fucks.
I feel like Taylor Swift just walks around all day like, I'm rich as fuck. Like, I don't need to give a shit as anything.
She gives no fucks and she's about to be a billionaire. I'm just like, yeah. I learned from her evil ways. I really do. I'm not even going to lie to you. Like,
you know what, though? I feel like I'm learning a lesson from you now because I'm like, you know what? I need to be that confident in my life. You're right, Sophie. I feel like she's teaching us something.
She is. Like, she is. She gives. She doesn't care. She, yeah.
She's, oh, Taylor Swift. She's like the right kind of, and also in every situation, she just seems so, it just sounds really, so excited to be exactly who she is. Like, she's like, I'm a basic bitch and I have basic bitch friends and I love it. And now I have this other basic bitch boyfriend and I'm going out to his games and being, I'm like, okay, girl, I guess live your life. Okay.
It's crazy. Some of us with these are crazy. I was reading about how now it's Chiefs fans are like struggling to get tickets because people are buying tickets to see the Chiefs just to be in the same stadium as Taylor because I'm not that kind of Swiftie, but I do know like every single song of hers now. So I just accidentally became a Swiftie during the pandemic. I think it happened to a lot of people.
I think
it
did. And then, go ahead. I'm sorry.
She's like, are we going to talk about that guy? I just dated into the Nazis. Like, nope. I'm fucking an NFL player now. Like, and a billionaire. She just doesn't give a fuck. Like,
wait, she was dating that guy, and everyone's like, wait, he's a neo-Nazi. She's like, actually, I'm not dating him anymore. I'm now dating this guy. And we're all like, oh, so we're not going to talk about how you thought it was okay for a month? I guess not. Okay, cool.
It was. Not to get. I don't think. I don't have time to get into that. Like,
I don't know too much about it. All I heard was like,
I know way too much. That's the problem. If I start talking, I will spend the rest of the podcast talking about it. So we should probably move on because I know everything.
Oh my God. Oh, I love how that's just like living rent free in your head. I have things like that too in my life that is just like, why do I know so much about this celebrity? Like right now, it's like Kim and Courtney's fight. I know too much about it. I know.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do. I don't know these people. But I'm like, girl, if I was Courtney, I'd be mad at Kim too, because Travis Barker wrote a whole chapter about Kim and he was like in love with her. And then he, okay, we're not also not going to get into that. I know. Because the debate goes deep. I'm mad at Kim, but I'm also mad at Courtney. It's a lot. Oh gosh. Oh, and then I think this after this, we're going to, oh, actually, no, these last two we have to talk about because they're so cute. Not just cute, like very good. This spell is your gender identity, celebrating your gender identity with Dionysus, which is so great. Dionysus is a god of wine. Dionysus is a good time. And I really love it. And it's all about, again, it's something fun, making a playlist. Again, having a party with yourself or with others if you want to. And just celebrating your gender identity, however you identify. Going to the club. I love how you put the last one is now. Go to a club, orgy, or dance hall, and know Dionysus is partying with you and protecting you. Hallelujah.
How are you?
I love that. So fun. And everybody deserves to be celebrated. And then resurrect your drag persona is the last one we're going to talk about, because who doesn't want to resurrect their drag persona? Who doesn't want a great drag persona? Right before the pandemic in my town, we didn't know it until like a couple months before the pandemic started, there's like a monthly drag show in my town. Now, I had never been to a drag show, but somebody we went to high school with, she does drag, and we were like, oh, you know what? We're going to go see her because we love her. She's like a super, super sweet person. We went to this drag show. I was like, I get it now. I get why everybody loves drag shows. I didn't know. I'm so sorry, everyone. I had no idea. We had so much fun.
They're the best. They really are.
Yes. Those, the drag queens are working. The host came out, and then first I was just like, okay. The host was hilarious. We could not stop laughing. The dancing, the music. It was like, I never really understood it. I don't really watch RuPaul's Drag Race. I've seen like little clips here and there. The funny ones they'll put on Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
I've never been invested in it just because I don't know. I just never watched it. But once I went to the show, I was like, oh, I get it. I was like, this is so fun. So then me and my friends were like, you know what? We're going to do this like every month. And then the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
But one of my good friends had her bachelor party at a club. And the drag show there was absolutely fantastic. Drag shows are so fun. That's all I wanted to say. And you have a quote from RuPaul in here. Drag doesn't change who you are. It actually reveals who you are. I love that. Because it's just, oh, it's so cool. And they're all so talented, everybody who does drag. They make their own costumes. Like, it's amazing. But the spell is really cool because you put on your loudest and proudest playlist. We have another playlist with artists who embody your drag dreams. Use a white candle to clear energy and you call upon the elements. And then you call upon drag royalty every different element, which I think is so cool. And then you just go wild. You're just yourself and you just have a good time. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it's, I very, very much support like the gender revolution and how many people are coming out as gender fluid or non-binary. But with this spell, I wanted people to know that everyone can play with drag, though, and gender. Mm-hmm. Even cis people, you don't, I just wanted to remind everyone that it's okay to play dress up. Oftentimes I feel like I'm playing dress up, or I'll put on like my high stand, all the like makeup and the long hair and the earrings. And there's been other times in my life where I've presented much more mask. And It's just, we all contain multitudes, and it's really fun to play with. And this book did come out in the pandemic, basically. Mm-hmm. So it was a great time to explore all these beauty rituals.
Absolutely. Yay! So there's tons of different rituals in the book. So the book is Glamour Witch, Conjuring Style and Grease to Get What You Want. I really, really enjoy it. It's really interesting. And I think if you're somebody who, I think it's for everybody, because if you're somebody, especially like, I like it because sometimes I struggle with like my own self-love and like that kind of thing, and reading about it and looking at the different rituals in here, I found them to actually be very helpful. I'd be like, oh, wow, this is something you can relate to anything in this book. There's so many different things, and it's for literally every single kind of person under the sun. Doesn't matter who you are, you can relate to something about it. And everybody wants to feel good and feel good in who you are and be able to relate to people in a healthy way. So I really enjoy it. Okay. Now we're here and we're at story time. Because we were talking about glamour for tea time, I thought we'd tell a story about somebody who is very glamorous, and you'll see why I say that. Today's story is a folktale, and it comes to us from Denmark. Yay, Denmark, the land of the Little Mermaid. That's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. People always forget the Little Mermaid from Denmark, and we love Denmark, Copenhagen, all that good stuff. So this story is called Princess Rosamund. There was this princess, and her name was Princess Rosamund, and she was super, super pretty, and everybody liked her. And every Saturday, she did a performance for everybody in the town. So she really loved to dance. So what would happen was, everybody in the town would come out to the castle, and she would take off her shoes, and she'd start dancing. So the thing about her was, when she danced, she left gold behind her as she walked. So everybody got excited. They're like, oh my God, all the gold. This is awesome. Also, when she would cry, because she was like so happy, she would cry pearls. And when she smiled, roses came all over. They just fell off her body. Everybody had a good time with this. Everybody loved it. And she would do this literally every weekend. She started one day to get a little bored. She's getting a little older. She's like, I don't know how long I can keep doing this performance. I'm getting tired. So she heard a voice one day just say to her, you're too talented for this. So she turns around and there's this maid She's never seen this maid before. But the maid introduces herself and she said, oh, hi, my name's Frida. And she's like, oh my God, hey, how are you? And she starts talking to the maid. The maid's like, you know, you should go and explore the world. Like, you're so talented with your dancing. You have all these pearl tears and gold feet and like all this good stuff. You should go dancing all over the world. And she's like, oh, okay. I don't know. My parents might miss me and stuff. And Frida's like, I heard there was a kingdom that's not too far away. And there's this dude, and his name's King Hermes, and he lives there, and he's looking for a lady to marry. And she's like, okay, that's interesting. She had heard of Prince Hermes, and he's supposedly super, super hot. So she's like, okay, maybe I'll go. Frida even had a little picture of him, and she showed him. She's like, oh, yeah, he is a hottie. I'm into it. Frida's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to take you out there because I'm going that way anyway. So if you want to just come with me, it'll be cool. So she's like, okay, cool. So the next day they get up, she gets up and she gets in the carriage with Frida. And she's super excited. There was rose petals everywhere because she's smiling a bunch. The rose petals come off her when she smiles. So they were talking the whole time. She's having a great time. And then night starts to fall and she's like, oh shit. And then there was a big storm that was outside and they stopped the carriage. So Princess Rosamond's like, oh my God, what's going on? And then all of a sudden Princess Rosamond hears like, and it's Frida. Oh shit. Why is she laughing like that? That's weird. So then she looks over and she sees what Frida was like a plumper, like very rosy, cute looking woman. Now she's like very frail looking and very, very old. She looks very haggard, right? And Rosamond's confused because she's like, what's going on? Like, where's Frida? And then she realizes that this old haggard woman is Frida. Frida goes outside and Frida starts controlling the weather. So she's making it rain more. And the guards who are with them, they get struck down by lightning. And now it's just her and Frida and she's freaking out. All the guards are dead. Frida's cackling and she's like, oh, you think you're the only magician here? You think you're the only witch? And Rosamond's like, I didn't say that. Frida's like, well, still, you think you're the only witch? I can do witchy shit too. And Rosamond's like, okay. Frida was a mean witch though. Rosamond, she was not very nice. Rosamond, she was so mad at herself because she didn't figure out what Frida's game was. She's like, oh my God, I was so dumb for doing this. Frida then takes Rosamond and she throws her out of the carriage into the rain. She kicks her down like a ravine and while Rosamond is crying during this whole situation, so the pearls are coming out of her eyes, Frida slips on one of the pearls. Then Frida gets so mad that she slipped that she goes down the ravine and takes out Rosamond's eyes. She gouges her eyes out because she's like, how dare you make me fall with your stupid eyes and your stupid pearl tears? So now Rosamond passes out because she was in so much pain from getting her eyes gouged out, right? So she's laying in the ravine now and she wakes up. She doesn't know how long she's been there. She forgot everything for a minute because she's so traumatized. And then all of a sudden she realizes she remembers everything. So now she's freaked the fuck out. She doesn't know what to do. And she can't see. She's blind now. Then she hears a carriage coming by and she starts screaming like, oh my God, help me, help me, help me. So these men, they ride up and they're like, what the hell's going on here? And she tells them like, my name is Princess Rosamond. I'm from this kingdom. It's not that far away. And the men are like, shut up and stop lying. Because Princess Rosamond is actually at Prince Hermes's kingdom right now. And Rosamond is confused. She's like, what do you mean? She's like, no. She's at the kingdom. So Rosamond has no idea what's going on. So the men then realize that when she gets up and she starts walking, the gold coins start falling at her feet. And they're like, oh, shit, she's magical as fuck. So then they take her and throw her in the back of their cart. They tie her up and she's just crying. And they're talking about like, oh, we're about to be rich. We're about to be rich in this bitch. And she's tired. She can't see. She's confused. She's so disoriented. She doesn't know what to do. So then they take her out of the cart. They tie her to the cart and they just make her walk. And the guy behind her is collecting all the gold coins. So then they walk. She walks and walks and walks so far that she just passes out at one point. Like she just, And once she passed out, the guys think she's dead. So they throw her to the side of the road again. Oh, God. So now she's, like, passed out. She's exhausted. She's having nightmares. She's in and out of consciousness. She doesn't know what's going on. Then she hears, like, whistling, which she was scared of. She didn't know what to do. But then she passed out again. Then she woke up. Again, she can't see at this point. But she touches, like, underneath her, and she feels something soft. And she's like, what's going on? And then she hears, like, whispering in the background. And she hears, like, a woman. And the woman's like, oh, my God, who's this girl? She's crazy. She doesn't have any eyes. What's going on here? And she's like, Burke. The woman is saying, Burke, who is this? And Burke is like, I don't know who that is, but I found this girl on the side of the road. And she's barely breathing. I can't just let her lay there. And the woman's like, Burke, I swear to God. So the lady was like, fine, she can't stay. But she can only stay for a little bit, and we got to figure out who she is. Then the woman also says, I can tell that even though her clothes are all ripped up, she must come from a good family because she has nice clothes. Like, but I don't know who she is. The woman's name now is Marie. So Marie is like, okay, let's get her cleaned up and see if we can feed her and stuff. And if she's good enough, like, she gets work, we'll take her to the palace and she can work there. So Princess Mosman hears all this. And then Burke says to Marie, no, we can't take her to the palace because Princess Rosamond is at the palace. You'll understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Princess Rosamond's at the palace and she's a bitch. Like, I heard she's a nasty woman. I heard that she beats her maids. We can't take this girl there. And Marie is like, rich people do what they like and we can't help that. And I'm like, Marie, calm down. So now Rosamond hears all this and all of a sudden she wakes up and she's like, what the hell? Hello? What's going on? And also Rosamond realizes that Frida went to the palace and did some type of like magic to change her appearance to look like Rosamond. Mm-hmm. So she's realizing this, but she's afraid to tell anybody because she's afraid that Frida's going to find her and kill her for real. So Marie and Burke, they run and they see, or like, oh, are you okay? And Rosamond won't really talk, but she's just like stirring and she's just scared because she can't see. She still doesn't really know what's going on. They asked her who she was. She wouldn't say a word. She won't tell them. And because she was so afraid that Frida was going to find her. She's so traumatized. Time goes on. They start making sure Rosamond can eat. Rosamond starts doing stuff around the house. To try to help. But Marie just always seems like Rosamond's in the way. She's irritated by her. So Burke one day, so they're like a farm couple, Marie and Burke. So Burke one day was like, he goes to the market, he comes home and he's like, hey, I found this woman in town and she actually trades eyes. Like she has eyes just hanging out in her
okay.
bed. Yeah.
Okay. So that's convenient.
I know. I was like, wow. So he's like, I bought some eyes. And let me see if they fit. So she puts these eyes in Rosamond's face, which hurts her a lot, but she does it. And then after Rosamond got these eyes in, she realized the eyes were small for her head, but whatever, it's fine. She also had no peripheral vision. She could only see straight ahead. And she was so happy that she started crying, but she just had regular tears, not pearl tears anymore because they were her eyes. So then she was like also a little mad though because she's like, man, I miss my own eyes. Then all of a sudden, she sees a mouse in the house scurry across the floor. And she goes right to the hole of the mouse. And she's just staring at the hole. And Marie and Burke are like, what is she doing? And she's just staring at the hole at the mouse. And every time she heard the mouse stir, she would move and try to find the mouse. And she stayed there for hours staring at this hole. And then Burke realized, damn, I think I got some cat eyes. That's crazy. So he went back to the market. He was like, ma'am. You sold me cat eyes. And the lady's like, oh, damn, that's crazy. Sorry. It's like, I guess I filed them under the wrong eye selection. I don't know. Burke went back and he came home with different eyes. And he said, damn, that lady really tried to hoodwink me. So he got these beautiful blue eyes this time. So once again, they had to now rip these eyes out of her head again. Poor Rosamond, and her head is pounding. And they put in the blue eyes. All of a sudden, Rosamond was like, okay. And she realizes, like, oh, shit, these eyes actually fit. This is good. Okay. And she looks and she starts crying. And what happens? She starts crying pearls. They were her eyes.
Oh.
Yes. So that lady who collects eyes Oh, another thing is the lady told Burke, oh, I found them in a ravine. So she's like, oh, shit, these are actually my eyes. She found my eyes the day that they were plucked out. So she was so excited. So because Rosamund had, like, terrible PTSD, she couldn't do certain things. She still wouldn't speak. Like, she was so scared. So she was careful not to walk barefoot because she didn't want them to realize about the gold coming out of her feet. And she never and she never smiled because she was terrified that they would be like, what the fuck is going on? And again, she didn't want Frieder to find her. One day, Marie was like, okay, let's get in. I want to take you somewhere. I have a kind of, we're going to go on a trip. And Rosamund's like, okay, let's go on this trip. I don't know where we're going. So she gets in there and she's a little nervous because she's only been around the farm for months now. And she's willing to take the trip because Marie's been so nice to her and so has Burke. She's like, I'll do whatever they want. So they start going. They start going and they get near the city. A city. She doesn't know what city it is. It's not her city. And there's a palace. So now now Rosamund is nervous because she's like, what the hell is going on? Where are we going? And then she sees all these people. Now she hasn't been around these many people. Plus, she has all this trauma from before of all these people trying to hurt her. So she's so freaked out, right? Now she realizes that it's Prince Hermes's kingdom. She sees his picture and she's like, oh my God, Frida's here. That's all she can think. She's panicked. She's asking Marie and Burke to take her home. She's begging them, please, 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 don't bring me here. Like, I can't be here. Marie was like, you have to stay. We're going to take you to the palace. You're going to get a job there. And Burke is like, felt really bad because Burke always felt bad for her, but Marie didn't care. I think she cared a little bit, but just not as much. Marie is like, you have to stay here. And she's crawling on Marie, begging her to take her home. Marie said no. And she ran and she left. So now the head maids, they look at Rosamund and they're like, okay, we're going to train you to be a maid. Rosamund is scared. She's like, the first thing you're going to have to do is bring some coffee and go to the royal quarters or whatever, the bedroom. And she's like, okay. So she gets the coffee. She knows she has to do this or else she's going to get whipped or something. So she gets the coffee. She's walking to the royal quarters. She's so scared. And she even says to herself, basically, like, man, I used to be so confident. And look at me now. Like, I'm scared shitless. I can't believe, like, this is my life now. But it's not her fault. So she went to the room of the royal couple. And she sees Prince Hermes. And then she looks over and she sees Frieda. But Frieda looks exactly like her. So she drops her shit. Yeah, she's like, oh, shit. Like, so Rosamund drops all her stuff. They both look at her. And then the real Rosamund, she starts crying and pearls are falling over all over the place. And the prince is looking at both of them like, you guys look real alike. Like, I don't know what's going on. And the prince looks at the real Rosamund and he's like, why are you crying pearls? And she's like, So then she smiles. Like, awkwardly. And, of course, rose petals fall over the place because that's what happens when she smiles. And then Frieda, pretending to be Rosamund, starts cackling and then turns from looking like Rosamund to looking like an old woman. And the prince is like, what? And then Frieda's like, I knew you. I would find you. I thought you were dead. I'm going to kill you. So she grabs a sword because those are just laying around. And she tries to stab Rosamund. And with a quickness, Prince Hermes grabbed another sword and stabbed Frieda through her heart. Oh, shit. She fell on Rosamund. Rosamund is only further traumatized, but at least she's not dead. Rosamund needs a lot of therapy. I feel so bad for her. So now Prince Hermes was like, wow, okay, so you are the real Rosamund. And she's like, yes, I'm the real Rosamund. He's like, wow, that's crazy because I married this woman because she looked, I heard she was Rosamund and I thought that maybe one day she would just be nice because I heard how kind the real Rosamund was, but she was always so mean and she didn't have any of the rose petals or the pearls or the gold. I just thought, I was trying to see if she would become better. And Rosamund's like, ooh, yeah, sorry, no, it was all crazy. So she tells him the whole story. Meanwhile, Rosamund hears Frieda, and she's like she's moaning. She's still a little bit alive. So Rosamund looks at her, and she goes, oh, she looks so peaceful. And Rosamund's like, fuck that. She takes the
sword and she stabs her in the eyes this time. Because she's like, oh, you want to mess with people's eyes?
No problem. Let's do it. Let's play this game. So she stabs Frida in both eyes. Frida screams and then she dies. And then Rosamund looks at the prince and she says, I have a lot to be afraid of, but I'm not going to be afraid anymore. And that's the end of that story. I guess they lived happily ever after. I don't know. Maybe not. I think Rosamund found her confidence and that's all we really care about. And she's okay now.
Yay.
Yay. That was a good story. Very glamour of pro-pro.
Yes. There's glamour magic. There's evil witches. There's good witches. There's everybody. There's robbers. It's fine. There's angry farm women. It's a story. We love it. That's our story time for today. I love a folktale. Sometimes we don't get to tell enough folktales on here, so I love a folktale. That brings us to the end of the show. Sophie, I want to thank you once again for being here. This was so fun talking about T. Swift and some glamour magic. Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Maybe one day we'll have you on and we'll just have a whole episode about Taylor Swift.
It's embarrassing how much I know. That high story actually made me think of like Kim K though and plastic surgery. Not just because I know I'm a plastic surgery, like I'm obsessed with it and follow like all the, like it's not the same because her eyes were taken out without her consent. She tried on so many different pairs of eyes, eventually got her real eyes back.
Yeah.
And I know that like Kim recently got her nose redone where she actually had a bump added back to make it look more natural. And if you look at her nose now, you can see a little bump that kind of looks more like her like Armenian genetics. But if you go back to pictures before, she is like the kind of classic nose job, like ski slope nose. So I was like, I was thinking about that when I was thinking about like eyes in, eyes out. Now I have my eyes, real eyes back in, but in like different circumstances. But I was thinking about like Rich Ken being like, nose job. Okay, I want to look a little more natural now. Let me get this bump put back in on my like other nose job.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, tying in the celebrity and the glamour and the story time.
I was just reading about Bella Hadid.
Huh.
How she was talking about, first of all, she got a nose job when she was 14.
Really young. Yeah.
Yes. And then how she was saying she regrets it now because she wished she had at least grown into her natural nose. And like, even maybe then she would have changed it, but at least she would have known what it was going to look like when she got older.
Yeah. It's been like, now I know if you go to good plastic surgeons, they'll ask you things like about your heritage and your ancestry and your like race and what you want to maintain and what you want to change. But I think for a long time, there was just like a one size fits all like nose handed out when you get nose job. I've actually had my nose done. It was after a break. So there was like reconstruction involved, but I'm very happy with it. But as a result, I know all about the plastic surgery. And when I saw that Bella got hers done at 14, I was like, Jesus Christ, that's pretty young. Yeah. Not that I feel too bad. She's a supermodel. she like posts all like the crying selfies on Instagram. I'm like, okay.
calm down. Look, everybody do what you like to do. It's your body. But like, I'm like, when you're that young, you're not even finished like developing at all. Like,
no, you're not.
You need a minute.
You don't. And you also wonder, like, not to get into it, like how much pressure came from like her parents, like where at 14 she even had the idea to like fix her nose. And I could get into this forever. Have me back to talk about. I know about Taylor Swift's nose job. Very subtle. But if she looked at the song, no one, the thing is, like, good nose jobs, you really can't tell they're done. People are, like, billionaire level. It's just, like, you know, going to the spa. But the consensus is, yes, that Taylor Swift has had a nose job. And you can tell because if you look at the bridge of her nose, like, this area between her eyes when she first became famous, like, country era, like, Taylor Swift, She has a pretty wide, like, bridge of her nose, mm-hmm. basically like a wide bridge between her eyes. But now you look at it and it's a very thin bridge. And so she had a little tweak. You know, a lot of celebrities do that. Just get enough that, like, it's going to photograph better, but not enough that people are going to write articles, like, before and after. Mm. But Google it. Look at the bridge of her nose, like, now. And when she first released debut, and message me or something. I'm curious. I would love to gossip about all the celebrities with you, but I'm gonna go Google Courtney and Kim's beef so I can be educated on that.
Yeah,
but thank you for having me, Ashley. This was like so fun, and I really appreciate your time.
Oh yeah, thank you too. This has been great, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun. I love this. Why I do this? So I make new internet people that I could talk to now.
Yes.
Yes. Everybody, this is Dine with the Divine. This is what you're listening to if you didn't know. Again, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. If you like the show, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you have any suggestions for episodes or questions, comments, or anything like that, please email me at dinewiththedivinepod@gmail.com. And if you want to follow me, Ashley, I'm at SankofaHS. That's SankofaHS. And on TikTok, and don't follow me on TikTok. Just follow me on Threads and Instagram. and Sankofa Healing Sanctuary on Facebook. Thank you so much for another wonderful week. Thank you again, Sophie. And we will see everybody next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.